Hi, this is Eric Casto, and I want to welcome you to the Oasis Podcast. And I tell you, this podcast is designed to be an oasis, a place where you can come and listen to the Word of God and also to hear the testimonies and the stories that the Word of God produces in the earth as we walk by faith and walk in a relationship of communion with the Lord. And, you know, I kind of want to just start today with a word of prayer, and then we're going to look at the Word of God and just see where we end up, and I know you're going to love it. So, Heavenly Father, thank you for my friends. Thank you that their ears are open, their eyes are seeing, their hearts are receiving. And, Lord, I pray that this time together would be an oasis of your presence, that, Father, whatever my friends are going through, that as they come, and as they began to listen to the Word of God, that they would find themselves drinking of your presence, drinking of the Word, and being refreshed. Father, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I want to start with the Bible says in the book of John, John chapter 15. And it's really a wonderful passage, John chapter 15. And it simply says this: I'm the true vine, my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I've spoken to you. Now this is where you got to really pay attention. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abides in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. I'm the vine. You are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. Without me, you can do nothing. If a man does not abide in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. Men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Now, this is a really important piece of scripture, because what we're looking at here is communion. And when you look at Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you actually have a wonderful, wonderful stories of the supper, the Last Supper, where the Lord begins to talk about communion. He takes the bread, he takes the wine, and he does something so powerful. He takes the bread and he says, "This is my body," and he blesses it, and then they watch him break it. And he says, "Now I want you to take it and I want you to eat it. I want you," you know, that it's so powerful when he says, "Take it." It's a command that we're to take of his body, take of who he is, and begin to get that on the inside of us. And then he says, "Here's my blood." And he had talked a lot about his blood. And in fact, in earlier in the book of John, a lot of people got offended because he said, "My blood is drink indeed." And they didn't quite understand what he was saying, but there's power in the blood of Jesus. And so Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Jesus talks about communion from the bread, the body, and the blood. But when you get to the book of John, John doesn't actually talk about communion from that standpoint. No. Chapter 13, chapter 14, chapter 15, and 16, you find the teachings that he was instructing them at the communion table there at the Last Supper. And so when you look at John and you look at what he was teaching and you combine that with communion, you and I are changed. And I tell you what, it's so powerful to just abide in the communion table and also to abide in chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, and then in chapter 17 of John, to hear Jesus pray. And I tell you what, his prayer ministry was second to none. I mean, there's nobody who can pray like Jesus. And he's praying for us right now. Now, I want you to also, we're in this, you know, teaching of communion, because there is no refreshing, there is no fruit bearing without communion. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. So we really have to press into that place of communion. Now, Colossians chapter 3, it says this, verses 1, 2, and 3. It says, if you have been risen with Christ, seek the things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on the things of the earth. You're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And, you know, this is such a beautiful verse because it talks about the power of his resurrection and that we're no longer living for ourselves. Our lives are now, we're hidden in Christ, with Christ, in God. Now, when we look at this wonderful place of communion with the Lord, our lives being hid with Christ in God, right? It's a wonderful place of rest. But let's go back in Colossians chapter 1, verse 19. And the Bible says, it pleased the Father that in Christ should all the fullness dwell. Colossians 2, verse 9, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And so those two verses from Colossians chapter 1, Colossians chapter 2, and when we tie that in, that you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God, wow, where are you hid? You're hid in the fullness of the Godhead. That is where we are at. And so as we press into communion, maybe you're taking communion every day, you know, have some bread and have a little bit of juice or wine, and you're focusing on your relationship with Christ, you are hid with Christ in God. And what is it that you can't do? For, you know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Well, where are you located? And I think that's the key. It's identification. A lot of times I think we're weakened because how we approach things. I know in my own life it's true. Is that how are we approaching the situations that we're dealing with? Are we approaching it from outside of God, trying to reach up to God, to find God? Oh, God, where are you? Can you please help me? That's from a position of weakness. It's actually from a position that's not even true. When you put your faith in Christ, your life is hid. You've come into Christ, and we are his body. And so that's why he said in John chapter 11, he said, Father, you always hear me. And now we're in his body. We are a part of him. Well, wait a minute. That's just figurative, isn't it, Eric? No. No, because when Saul, who later became Paul, was persecuting the church, Jesus came, stopped him on the road, knocked him off his horse and blinded his eyes. And he said, he didn't say this. He didn't say, hey, Saul, you know, you're hurting some people. And he didn't say that. He said, you're doing it to me. He said, you're doing this to me, and I feel it. You got to just look at what's said. And so we are in him. Everything that happens to us, he's very intimately aware of it. He understands it, and he invites us into this place of strength where we can begin to access who he is, the fullness of who he is. And so right now, I just want you to begin with your faith. The mindset of faith coming from the heart into the Word of God and say, you know, Lord, I'm in you and I'm in fullness, and begin to meditate on fullness. Let that fullness saturate your spirit, saturate your mind, saturate who you are, saturate your home because of the fullness of the Godhead in Christ, and you and I are in him. And so we need to dwell in him. We need to get his words in us, where his word is living in us and we're living in his word. That's really true communion. You can drink all the wine and eat all the bread that you want, but without the word of God and a relationship with that word, you're not going to have communion. It's the word of God that brings us into that place. And that's what John is trying to help us, you know, to come into the fullness of the communion table. You know, I as I get into this, I remember back when I was 18 years old, and I had gone through some, you know, a time of wobblies. You know, I don't know if you've ever were in your teenage years, maybe, of course you do. You remember back to those. And, you know, it's a time of growing. It's a time of forming who you are and learning about the world that you live in. But, you know, a lot of times there's a whole lot of temptation. There's a whole lot of things going on. And the enemy really likes to target teenagers, to sift them in order to divide them and then to get them to begin to take a path for their lives that's not the path of God. And I remember the night, May the 18th, I walked into my bedroom. I was all alone. And the presence of God came so strong upon me. I mean, so deeply touching my heart, and tears began to come down my eyes, and I knew it was God. When God begins to deal with you, you know it's him. You don't have to guess. God's not, you know, he doesn't sit in heaven going, I hope that they can understand that it's me. No. When he moves into a place or into a position to minister to you, you know it's God. And tears are coming down my eyes, and I just finally surrendered. What, you mean you're becoming a Christian? No, I was a Christian. I was a little confused. I think the enemy was really sifting me, trying to get me to go a different direction. But there was a battle, and there's a battle for you. There was a battle for me. And maybe by this story, this testimony, maybe we can help you. To help push you through battles that come against you, to sift you. And you, the word sifting, maybe you don't speak English as your first language. To sift means to divide. And it's what happens when someone's working with grains. In the old world, they would sift the wheat, they would throw it up in the air, and the wind would blow the outside of the seed and blow it away in order to divide the husk from the actual seed. And because they want the seed. Well, that's what the devil does to us. He gets us into our minds, maybe gets us into compromise, sin, and then he begins to divide our hearts where we're confused, and then we begin to take on maybe another doctrine, a form of Christianity that denies the power of God. And then pretty soon we begin to live in a life of there's no fruit, there's no evidence of Christianity, and you just become stripped of who you are. And Paul talks about that in his writings. Well, as I'm there at my bed weeping and realizing the littlest of sin separates us from God, and I grabbed my Bible and I just opened it. I opened it to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. And verse 14, now, I didn't know this verse. It's a powerful verse. It's a verse I love. But at the time, I didn't know this verse. And I opened my Bible, and right there on the page, these words were coming up. And it said, "If my people, who are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turning from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sins, and I will heal their land." And I'm just there, and I realize God is dealing with me, and he's giving me an opportunity. And I closed my Bible. I said, "Lord, I give you my life. I'll never take it back. I'm going to go after you with everything that I have. I'm going to serve you." And I remember standing up and wiping the tears away from my eyes, but just sensing a quiet peace and a cleanness that had just happened on the inside of me. And then I'm like, oh boy, now God's going to be watching me to see if I'm serious about this. And I was serious. But it was a new season for my life. It was launching out into a new direction. And so I remember, oh God, I don't know if I know how to pray. And so I began to learn to do my best. And you know, that's the way it is with all of us. You have to learn. You had to learn to walk, and you did, and you're walking today. But if we could take a video and go back in time and show you your first steps, they weren't so good. But today you're doing fine. And it's the same way with the Lord. You know, how to begin to learn to approach Him and to fellowship and to love Him. So if you're a new Christian, don't worry about it. Just keep pressing into God with all your heart and all your love. And He's going to order your steps. He's going to bring good people around you to help you as you trust in His love for your life. Well, I remember I lived on a farm. I was a farm boy. And so, you know, here we are now. We're into the month of June. And I'm really seeking God. And at night I would go out on the hill near the barn. Our family dog, would come over and sit near me, and I would begin to try to pray and talk to God, and then I would begin to sing songs that I knew from church, and began to reach up to God and to praise Him and praise Him and praise Him and worship Him, and time would just, it would just go by. I'm telling you, I mean, that's like, wow, you know, an hour's gone. Where did the hour go? Oh, I don't know where it went, but it was time seeking the Lord and loving Him. And so I began to do that, and I began to realize I'm in communion. That, you know, this realization of communion, it's happening. And, you know, maybe I wasn't the greatest prayer or person of prayer, but I was reaching out to God, and my love for Him was reaching up, and His love for me was there. And this place, this secret place, this place of the fullness of the Godhead around me and just ministering to me and learning to abide in Him and where He's abiding in me. And so, well, at that time, I had to go to college and to university. And at the time, I was kind of looking at two different Christian schools. And well, in this case scenario, there was one school called Oral Roberts University, and my mom had been praying, Lord, I really want one of my sons to go to Oral Roberts University. But the other one was another good Christian school. My brother, older brother, he went to that school, and I really loved him. And I thought, wow. And, you know, and he was a football player, and I was an American football player too. And so a lot of people in my hometown, they knew I liked to play football, relatives. And they thought, well, don't go to Oral Roberts University. You go to the university where your brother is and play American football. And so you kind of felt that pressure. Go be with your brother and be near your brother. Everybody loves to be near family. No, you know, that's normal to love your family and to be near your family. So I remember, oh my goodness, I remember I got on the phone and I called Oral Roberts University and I said, you know what, you need to take me off your rolls, and because I'm not going to come. I've been accepted at another school and I'm going to go there. Well, I called this other school and said, you know, I want to come, you know, to your school. And so now when I got off the phone, I felt in my heart a loneliness, a frustration. I felt like that wonderful communion had been broken, had been grieved. Now, that's a better term, actually. It's a grieving where there's separation. And the Lord loves us so much. The grieving is His love. The grieving is His holiness. The grieving is He so desires that open communication and flow between each other, and now it's been hindered because either sin or disobedience. Well, the first night comes, and I go out by the barn, and I began to try to sing and worship the Lord, and I just think, you know, what's going on out here, you know? Where's God? That's kind of what I felt. Where's God? And so I kind of went to bed. I was a little bit lonely when I went to bed thinking something's wrong. But deep in my heart, I got to be honest with you, I knew what was wrong. But I was young. I was trying to figure all this out. I had a lot to learn. So a couple nights go by. And so finally, a friend of mine, he went to a little Pentecostal church. I hadn't been to it. And he goes, "Hey, Eric, why don't you go to church with me?" And I said, "Well, okay." So I went. I think it was probably a Sunday night. And he played in the band. So I go in. I'm sitting down in the very back row of the church. There's a cement wall behind me. And I go through the service. And then at the end, the pastor goes, "Well, let's close in prayer." And he bows his head to pray, and he stops. And he looks up, and he looks over at me. And he said, "Hey, you on the back row." Well, there's nobody behind me because there's no row behind me. There's a cement wall behind me. And he says, "Thus says the Lord." And he gives me this word about trusting him in this pursuit of this calling. And the presence of God melted me. And I knew I drove home. I don't know how fast I drove. But I was weeping. I was free. I knew I got to go to Oral Roberts University. And that's the problem. I had known it in my heart. He had been speaking to me concerning Oral Roberts University. And my heart knew it. It was part of the communion. It was the will and direction of God. God was trying to order my steps. And I got home. I ran in. Mom, guess what happened at church? And I just began to tell the whole story, and my mom, she's just looking at me with a very serious look, like she knew everything. Now, my mom's a woman of prayer. And when I got finished, I got quiet. She said, "Now, let me tell you what the Lord said. When you were at church, I was in the field with the horses, and an intercession came down upon me, and I began to pray for you. And then the Spirit of the Lord said, tell Eric, if he doesn't choose my will now, he'll never walk in the fullness of my plan for his life." Oh, my goodness, when she said that, I'm telling you what, I straightened up and realized there is two sides to the will of God. There is that wonderful loving side, a bless me side, tear side, but then there's the other side that sobers you to the fear of God, that this is real. And so the Lord was showing me how to walk in communion and to begin to trust the steps that he has for me, that it's a good plan. It's a plan that in the realm of this communion, and I want to encourage you in this time, spend time dwelling in the fullness of the Godhead through your word and your devotion, and begin to expect him to order your steps and learn to begin to put your feet down, your steps down in faith, and stay in that wonderful place of communion. And as you do this, it's very simple. Stay in it. And as you look back one day, you're going to see all the places you've walked in the earth and the fruit that was developed because of it. Hey, well, that's enough for now. Listen, we love you. This is the Oasis Podcast with Eric Casto. And let me just pray for you. Heavenly Father, as we close in prayer, I just ask that these words, the Word of God, would begin to build a vision for the lives of my friends. Father, heal their bodies, deliver their minds, and bless them as they pursue your purpose in the earth. Now, that's enough for now. Go to our website at www.forestsmiles.com. There's more information there. And remember that we love you. Jesus loves you. He's coming soon. We need to be ready. Until next time, God bless you. Bye-bye.